I want to take a few moments this morning to reflect on this account in John chapter 1 and invite and encourage us to hear the Lord ourselves, to hear His calling, to hear His word to us. Father, we do ask that You would meet us in Your word this morning. Might Your grace abound to us. Might Your call be heard. Lord, might we be attentive to Your voice and present ourselves to You as Your servants, as Your people. Lord, challenge us, convict us, call us afresh and anew. This day we ask to Your praise and to Your glory. Amen. So in John's Gospel, we get this wonderful continued calling of disciples. And I want to begin this by noting or sharing a bit of a potential clarification, which could go either way, in verse 43. That notes that the next day, depending on your translation, the NRSV, as the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." It could be, within the Greek we have the next day He decided to go to Galilee. And it's assumed that the He is Jesus. The He could also potentially have been carrying on from verses 40 to 42. And let me just read those from you just above. We have John, who has begun to share about the Christ, the Lamb of God. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," speaking to two of his own disciples that were with them. And in verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And Andrew, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And then potentially, as the Greek reads, the next day he decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And this could have been Andrew who found Philip. He first found his brother Simon and then found Philip. And Jesus, I believe, comes in here in the verse, said to Philip, "Follow me." We have a wonderful calling of one to another, or finding of one to another, and sharing what they have found. We have found the Messiah. And then Jesus gives the call, "Follow me." As you may be aware, it's often the practice, if not always the practice, that a student would go looking for a teacher or a rabbi in this context. The teacher would, or the student rather, would pursue one whom he wanted to teach and lead him. And the beauty within the Gospels is that Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the King of Israel, chooses His disciples, chooses those who would follow Him, calls to them, "Follow me." One of the wonders of a student following a rabbi is that the hope was that they would become like the rabbi. And a rabbi would deny a student whom they felt didn't quite have what it would take to be like the teacher. The grace and the wonder here is that Jesus finds students and says, "I believe that you could follow me, that you could be like me." And where he finds these students from, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Quite literally, this was a fishing town, and this was a small town. I don't know if you've ever known anyone who was ashamed of where they were from. They didn't come from a noted place. They didn't come from a popular place. They didn't come from a well-to-do place. They didn't come from a place of notoriety and prosperity. The disciples came from small town, Cana. Jesus from Nazareth, this place beside a fishing town. Philip. What do we know about Philip? Not much. The Synoptic Gospels don't tell us much at all, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In John, we get this account of Jesus wanting to feed the masses, the crowds that had gathered. And Jesus asked a question to his disciples, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip, in John's Gospel, chapter 6, replied, 200 denarii, or a month's worth of salary, worth of bread, is not sufficient for them that every one of them may have a little. I don't know how we will feed the masses. Within the disciples, we find throughout the Gospels a sense of doubt, a sense of questioning, a sense of uncertainty. True of Philip, true of Nathanael as the conversation continues. I think we can all fall into that category of doubt, of questioning, of uncertainty. But Jesus is the one who has called us. Jesus is the rabbi who has tapped us on the shoulder. Jesus is the one who has said, come, follow me. I want you to come and do this. He calls us to have faith in who he is and what it is that he can accomplish in our lives. I think one of the questions that I ponder, and maybe one of the questions for us today, do you want to be like Jesus? When Jesus says, come, follow me, he's not merely saying, come and get a security that when you die, you will go to heaven. He's saying, come and be like me. Come, do what I do. Come, be a disciple. Do we want to follow Jesus? Do we want to be a disciple? Do we want to become like him? Do we want to be transformed more and more into his image and into his likeness? Do we want to follow Jesus? We will get to Nathanael's confession in a moment of Christ, that he is the Son of God, in fact, the King of Israel. This calls for allegiance. This calls for obedience. This calls for faith. This calls for surrender. Do we want to follow Jesus? I think of the account in Luke 9. If you would grace me for a moment, let me turn to Luke 9. And we get this account of those who would come after Jesus. We read in verse 37 of Luke 9 that as they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I wonder if the fellow reconsidered. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now is not the right time in my life. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Come, follow me at your leisure. Not quite what it says. Come, follow me on the days that it works well for you. Not quite what it says. Come, follow me in theory, believe at least so that you have some security of salvation. What you really do is up to you, but just pretend or say that you are following me. Not what he calls us to. And the disciples, as we've noted, don't always get this right. They don't do it perfectly. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of mistakes. But the call is come, follow me. Come, let your life be shaped by the reality of who Christ is and the fact that he has called you, the fact that he has tapped you on the shoulder and wants you to follow him. We find as we continue in the gospel account in John 1, that Philip then finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote. Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Philip found Nathanael. This finding is a very purposeful act. He went out to get Nathanael. And we find this in the earlier verses as well that we alluded to. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he first found, the same word, very intentional act. He went out to get Simon and he said, "We have found the Messiah." Philip went out to get Nathanael and says, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the one about Moses and the law and the prophets has written. We have found the one, Jesus, son of Joseph." Who is Nathanael? He's from Cana, John 21 tells us, a small town. Some say that he is to be equated with, or is the same person in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's noted as Bartholomew, the son of Ptolemaeus. And it could be that he is one of the 12 apostles. Could be that Nathanael is just one of the many disciples who are following Jesus. And we get the wonderful proclamation from Philip. Philip connecting himself with the larger group, with the others who are now following Jesus, we have found him. Reality is, Jesus finds us, but they have been found by Jesus. They have been called to follow him. Life-changing revelation for them. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Son of God. We have found Jesus Christ, the one who has been spoken of. We get this in Deuteronomy 18, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 11, including Isaiah 52 to 53 with the suffering servant, the son of Joseph. Now we know, and John has already told us in his gospel, that Jesus is much more than just the son of Joseph. He is, as we read in the prologue of John's gospel, the one who reveals God himself, the one who was in the beginning with God, the Word who was with God, and the Word who was God, and the Word who became flesh. But here on this earth and in this culture at this time, he's also recognized as the son of Joseph. We found him. It's interesting, in John chapter 6, this title, Son of Joseph, is used in a negative way. John chapter 6, 41 and 42. John 6, and we have Jesus teaching about being the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And the Jews in 6:41 began to complain about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." And they were saying in verse 42, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" Maybe what will impact your choice of whether or not to follow Jesus is what it is that you believe about Jesus. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the Messiah? Do you believe that he is the fulfillment of the words of Moses and of the prophets? Do you believe he is the Word become flesh? Do you believe he is God Almighty? Do you believe he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If so, and you hear him say, "Follow me," it's hard to deny that request. Nathanael replies, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" A small town, insignificant, relatively speaking, insignificant Galilean town. Not only is Nazareth insignificant, but also not a place from which they expected the Messiah to come. There's murmurings in John 7. Would the Messiah really come from Galilee? Could this really be true? And Philip replies to this questioning of Nathanael, come and see. As we think of Andrew, as we think of Philip, as we think of these disciples, these apostles finding others, Andrew potentially finding Peter, bringing them, introducing them to Jesus who says, follow me. One of the other challenges, the third challenge or question I want to ask us is, are we calling others? I have found, or I have been found by the Messiah. It's so hard to tell how excited you are or not. Some of you I don't see, the rest of you I see are wearing masks. This is life-changing news, which by your attendance here or watching on Zoom, Facebook, whatever it might be, there's an indication that you have heard from someone, some place, somehow, that they had found the Messiah. And perhaps you have believed that he is not just the son of Joseph. He is the Son of God. And you have decided to follow. And part of this following is proclaiming the kingdom of God to others. Come and see. This is the invitation of the gospel that's been extended to us and is to be extended from us to others. Verse 47 in John 1. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, here is truly an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit or no guile. Here is a true Israelite. In the reference being made to Jacob, who deceived his brother Esau on those two times and had deceit within his life, a heart of duplicity. But Nathanael is not so. It's nice when somebody gives us a compliment. I like compliments. If you want to call me a good guy, you feel free. I will receive that if you want to share that with me. Nathanael gets this wonderful compliment from Christ, if you will. Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And in verse 48, Nathanael asked him, where did you get to know me? Nathanael does not deny the judgment on his character. And if this is true, then we do not take this as arrogance. Where did you get to know me? Nathanael has heard the call, come and see. He's come, and he is beginning to see. Jesus continues, where did you get to know me? I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. A fig tree could refer contextually within this time period to one's home. Scripturally, it can refer to the advent of the Messiah or the Messianic branch. In rabbinic literature, the fig tree was a place of meditation, reflecting on scripture, a prayer. Or, and I prefer to lean here perhaps in this passage, the statement, I saw you under the fig tree, may simply indicate knowledge of a person and their whereabouts. I think of Psalm 139 that we read earlier. The God who knows when we sit down and when we stand up. The God who knows our thoughts before we think them. The God who knew us when we were being woven together in the depths of the earth in our mother's womb before anyone else saw us. God knew us. Where did you get to know me? I've always known you. I've always been watching you. I've always had my eye upon you. Come, follow me. Nathanael replies with a proclamation, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Not the son of Joseph in the dismissive way that the Jews declared it in John 6, but in the way that Philip was understanding it. The son of Joseph, but so much more. And then Jesus shares this. Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. One note on this idea of the Son of Man. We get this picked up from, I believe, Daniel. And in Daniel 7 we read, I saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. I believe Jesus, in calling himself Son of Man, is referring to this and to who he is and what his kingdom is about. You shall see angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. This picture of heaven open and God's angels ascending and descending is drawn from Jacob's vision already referred to in this passage. Israelite in whom there is no guile or deceit, unlike Jacob. And Jacob's vision in Genesis 28, it's recorded of a ladder resting on the earth, with its top reaching into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. Above the ladder, in Genesis 28, as it's described, stood the Lord, who made specific promises to Jacob in this dream. Promises about land, about descendants, about the blessing that would come to the world through them. And finally, a promise of Jacob's return to the land from which he was fleeing, fleeing from his brother Esau, whom he had deceived. In Genesis 28, and bear with me, let me just read a couple of verses here from Genesis 28. In Genesis 28, we find these words from Jacob as he reflects upon this. Genesis 28, verse 16. Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jesus is now stating he is the gate of heaven. He's implying that the place where people encounter God was now in the person of his son, in this son of Joseph, in the Messiah, in Jesus. And it is in and through Christ that God is now revealing his truth. Will you follow? Do you believe? Will you proclaim? I found the Messiah. Hear the voice of God. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Here I am, Lord. Send me forth to proclaim the wonder of your revelation. Father, lead us into deeper belief and understanding of who you are and what you have called us to. Help us to grasp, with whatever doubt we might still hold on to, that you have called us to follow you, to be like you, in order that we might be witnesses for you in this time and this space. Lord, might we hear through the understanding and the reading of your incarnation, the revelation of God in Christ, your heart for people to know. Might we hear you call us. Might we believe in who you are. Might we go forth proclaiming the good news. Might we set out to find, to go, and to get a hold of, to get the attention of others to come and to see the wonders of the Lord. To your praise and your glory we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.